I was over there praising the Lord, and I kind of caught a revelation, I think, of how would I praise the Lord if I really knew this was the last opportunity I had to do it? If this was it, and I got to look at Jesus one more time, what would I act like if I could say anything? I wouldn't care how my body felt that day. I wouldn't care what I went through. This is it. It's on the line. Isn't that right? Where are we at in time, friends? My goodness, and I know we hear it, but they've been saying the coming of the Lord is at hand for 2,000 years. But it's going to get here one of these days. That's right. Don't lose steam now. Stay in revival. You're the bride of Christ. Don't let the world tell you can't have a good time. You have a good time in the Lord. Jesus set us free this afternoon. I'm not caged up no more. I'm a bird out there. Go ahead and fly. You know, some people might be stuck in cages, but I don't believe in that no more. We had a message to get us on out of there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, Galatians this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to see each one that can make it out of the house of the Lord today. Jesus. Galatians 1. I'd like to go to verse 11 today. And read a little portion here, and then I want to skip down toward the end of the chapter. There, can you say amen for me?
Amen.
Y'all got a little patience for one another? We can wait for everybody to get there. That's right. You can go ahead and praise the Lord. You can go ahead and thank Him for what He's done for you today. Just so blessed, aren't we? Thank you, Jesus. Just about any time I start getting down, you know, the Lord will bring me something and show me something where, you know, somebody's got a little bit worse than I do. I say, well, thank you, Lord. You know, I feel good today. I got, more than anything, I got a desire to serve God. You know, I'm just so grateful for that. You know, I'm not falling in love with other things. I fell in love with somebody that loved me more than I could even imagine. Thank God for that. Galatians 1:11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Let's go down to 23. "And they had heard only," "that He which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once He destroyed, and they glorify God in me." Let's see if I can say this just the way I want to this morning. I'd like to speak for a thought. The revelation of humility glorifies God. And it might seem straightforward, but we'll get in here and pull out what's the truth of the word. The revelation of humility glorifies God. Let's bow our heads before we approach His word. The deepest of sincerity you can muster in your soul as we approach the word of God. Is there anything you'd like to lift up to the Lord and say, "Father, you know what's behind my hands. It's just something deep in my heart, and I want you to just help me. Just be there for me. You promised to, Lord." Let's come now in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints together. Thank You for Your word, Lord, that's always true. It never fails. It never has to change. It never has to be updated. But Lord, it's always right on time. It's always the way we need to go. And Lord, You said in the word that we should come together the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. We're thankful for revelation, that we're not being caught off guard by the things of the world and what's happening. But Lord, we see on every side that the coming of the Lord is upon us. Father, we pray that today we would check up in our souls, that we would find if there's any black thing that Satan's tried to put into our lives, that Lord, if there's any that are lost, oh God, don't let us be deceived. Don't let us deceive ourselves. Show us, Lord, where we are standing with You, that we can rest in peace knowing that we're ready to go, we're sealed up, we've got everything in order, Lord, that You should come in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. I'm going with You, Lord. That's the confidence we want to have, Father. Let us check up. Let us get all the unbelief out of our lives. Let the Word of God come and destroy every work of the enemy today. Save those that are lost. Fill those that are empty. Heal those that are sick. And Lord, more than anything, everything that's done in this little building, I pray would exalt the name of Jesus Christ today. We commit this service into your hands as a faithful Creator, one that can't lie and didn't lie in His words. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I think just this little bit of talking in Galatians, you might have got a revelation that Paul maybe wasn't exactly the man that you might have thought before. He definitely didn't have the popularity that we would think a man of God should have. If hindsight, we say, is always 20/20, you know, if you're right on the word, everybody should love you, should be the best guy around. Why wouldn't they come pat you on the back and say, yes, yes, brother, we can tell you're a prophet of the Lord? But we found out that that's never happened in history. And even you go back to the old prophets, Jeremiah, they hated him. If it wasn't for God so convicting him that he couldn't take it, he would have never preached to those bunch of stiff-necked people, because everywhere he went, he was rejected. He was rejected. He was rejected. But here's the thing. There was one place he wasn't rejected, and that was going up. God recognized the prophet Jeremiah as the prophet. There were other people. Come on now. Don't be all quiet waiting on somebody else. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord this morning. That's right. There was other prophets in the land who said, oh yeah, we've got the word. We've got it figured out. And Ahab, go ahead, you backslidden preacher, but go ahead and pray for the sick and go ahead and believe for miracles. It'll happen. Go ahead. We'll push them out in 2 years. Well, sorry, if your life's not right, you can stack up all the promises of God you want. There's no foundation for it, and God is not obligated. And Jeremiah the prophet could see these things. That's right. All the other prophets that came along, and Isaiah, we think, my, what a mighty man of God. And he was. He wrote a whole commentary for the entire Bible in his prophecy. 66 books of the Bible, 66 chapters in Isaiah. But how many know it was the way he died? They took the man and they sawed him in pieces. And we think, well, why would they do that to him? Man, he had to be a great guy. You're right, he was in the eyes of God. But see, the revelation of humility is what I want to talk about. A lot of people have an idea of what it means to be humble. And a lot of times it's just kind of groveling on the ground. You know, you don't talk to nobody, you don't say nothing, you just humble, you know. But you know, we think a beggar on the street, he's walking down and he's broke, you know, he's just a humble guy. Some of the most proud people I've met are poor people. You know why? Because we think that, oh, maybe if I talk to a poor person, maybe I convert them to Christ. If you've ever gone into that, they're some of the hardest people to ever get anywhere. You want to know why? It's because they've been so seared with the things of life and how hard they think they've had it. Usually it's self-inflicted, especially here in America. If you wanted to get out, you probably could have, but you're just too lazy. But anyways, they get so seared that they think, well, this can't be my fault. This can't be my fault that I'm in this condition. So I've got no one to blame. I'll just blame God. That's why I'm broke. That's why I'm this. That's why I'm that. And people do it even in the churches, even in the message. They blame God for, you know, we're just waiting for the revival to come for the bride. And that's why we're just all kind of laying around and don't get to see the glory of God and all these things. It's excuses. It's not God's fault. It's yours. If you believe God's word, He shows up. And I think if you didn't believe that before, you've seen it in this little building right here, that when you take God at His word, He responds. He needs somebody that's got faith to believe Him. That's right. Somebody that's not a big sissy about it, but somebody that says, God, your word said it. I believe it. I applied it. Devil, get out of the way. That's right. And then, those old religious spirit come by and say, oh, but brother, calm it down. Sister, calm it down. You ain't being humble. God lets you have this sickness for a reason. Yeah, so I can cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ and let the blood of Jesus Christ be exalted. That's what I think gives God a lot more glory than us groveling around. Oh, it's just always going to have this ache here. I'm always going to have headaches. There's nothing I can do about it. And a lot of times God gave you the revelation of what's even causing it, but you don't like that. I still want to eat my pizza and drink my pop and lay around and eat Twinkies. I don't want no consequences for that. Well, God's program don't quite work that way. Now we can apply that much more to the spiritual. God, I want joy. I want peace. Do you even spend time with the peacemaker? Do you even spend time in prayer? Do you spend time in the Word? And you want results, yet you never even went to get it. How do you expect to have a good spiritual life if you don't eat good spiritual food? That's right. We need to get a revelation of what Jesus said. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every single word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Paul here, and Paul to me is the epitome of what we ought to be in Christianity. Maybe you differ with that, but I don't know, he's a man, he was saved by God like you and I, and Jesus is our example, but this man could say, follow me as I follow Christ. So he had a revelation of who he was, and I believe he was not a hypocrite. Amen. I don't believe he was stuck up like they thought he was. I believe he was a Christian. I believe not only that, he was a Holy Ghost filled Christian. I believe more than that, he was the messenger to the Gentiles. And if you didn't adhere to the message that he brought to you, you would not be saved in that age. Amen. So this man here that we're talking about, first I want to say God always works in humility. You can't be proud and serve God at the same time. It's completely impossible. If you've got a stuffed shirt, you are not accepted in the presence of God. I don't care what powers you have of God, what kind of faith you even might have, what kind of works you might be able to show. If you're walking around with your chest stuck up and say, bless God, I'm this, I'm that, God don't work through you. And you say, well, how do these miracles happen and all that stuff? Oh, don't forget the anointed ones at the end time. God can let the Spirit of God, He can put His Spirit, He said He'll put it on all flesh. And people can have miracles and things, but if that life's not behind it pulsating those miracles to happen, you've got a Judas around. That's absolute. You got a Balaam around, and that's the worst of the worst. If you weren't here Wednesday, that's one of those sons of men, not the Son of Man. Amen. So here we have Paul. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. This man did not go to Peter to ask what he thought about it. This man didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to anyone else. But when the pillar of fire met him, he said, that's who I want to talk when I want to serve God, because He told me who He was. His name was Jesus, and whatever He says is what I want to do. He believed it so much that he went to a city and sat blind for 3 days waiting on God to fulfill His word.
That's right.
And we can't wait 3 minutes with the trial. God, why did you let this happen? And then you realize if you'd get a revelation, it's not God that kept you sick, it's your unbelief right there.
That's exactly right.
God was on His way, He was sending His healing, and you began to disbelieve, and it cut God off. And people don't think you can do that, but you don't understand this God. He is the Almighty, and you're not taking His throne, but He's still got a character so humble that if you don't want Him around, He'll leave.
That's right.
The gospel was preached to me was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now here we go. For you have heard of my conversation in times past of the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He's sure exalting this, isn't he?
Right.
Beyond measure. And profited in the Jews of religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous. Look how much he's exalting what he was back in that time. Now, he's not doing it to boast himself. Listen now, the reason Paul is so exalting what he was as a sinner is because these men were trying to be that. These men were trying to be the Jews of the Jews, the believers of the believers, the law of the law. And he's saying, I was everything you wanted, and I was lost.
Amen.
I was undone. I needed something, and that's what I'm presenting to you. Why are you heading back over there when I've got the man of life sitting right before you?
Exactly.
Well, Paul, why are you exalting yourself? Now, I will say this. You won't see Paul talking about his past anymore after this. He wasn't sitting there exalting. Now, I've met people like that. They'll just tell you how good or great of a sinner they were before Christ came. Well, bless God. You know, I appreciate the testimony, but glorify God, not Satan, that you did when you were in the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've done plenty of wicked, evil things. I don't go around glorifying in that. Oh, man, I really received the grace of God. That's not something to necessarily be proud of. I don't think Mary Magdalene was happy that she got caught in adultery when she got saved. But bless God, she did get saved. That's right. Go and sin no more. So Paul exalted what he was before to show them that there was nothing to it. And then he says here in verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, it wasn't anything I did. He was showing the humility it takes to be a son of God. If you do not have a revelation of the grace of God, you are not serving God. You're serving a law. You're serving a doctrine. You're serving an idea. But when you realize the only reason you even have a desire to serve Him, the only reason you even care about the things of God was the grace of God shown to you that a man took his life, went to the cross, and laid it down for you. Then you can start serving Him. But when it pleased God, let me just read some other scriptures here. Luke 14 says this. Listen now. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Brother Branham said it this way: you always get the little you can get. All the time. You should be never get exalted in your own sight in any way. I don't care what God uses you for. You need to always give God the glory for it. Now, if it's really the signs of God, the people will appreciate it. They'll come and tell thanks. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as the man of God knows that it's the grace of God that it happened.
Sure.
Amen. Brother, I think a man said that one time, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but came to Brother Branham and said, I don't like people saying things like that to me. He's like, there's one difference between me and you. I'm telling the truth. I like when people say nice things to me. I think we all can be honest that we like when people say nice things to us. Now, if we just take it in the right attitude and give God the glory and let Him encourage us, it'll be all right. But the second that gets into our hearts and begins to think that we're something, Brother Branham illustrated this way. You go get a bucket of water, put your finger in it, take it out, and tell me where your finger was. That's how much you are. And it's like a bunch of nothing. Hallelujah. So I'm going to get us real low, and then I'm going to show you the balance here. Brother Bram says this, and who is Jesus? How many wants to be like Jesus today?
Amen.
Who is Jesus? 64. And He came, the most humblest birth that could ever be born of a peasant mother. Not even a place to lay down to give birth to this baby. And His squalling cloths, we're told, was off of the yoke of an ox, and they wrapped Him in a manger in a stinking stable over the wastage of the stable. And the stable is not even a correct stable, little cave in the side of a hill. He dwelt with the lowest, most poorest of people. He was rejected by the highest of societies. He was rejected by His own, the church that ought to have known Him, but they didn't. They wasn't trained in the Word to know Him. And we find again that He went to the lowest city that there was in Palestine, Jericho. I forget how many feet below sea level it is, way low. He stooped Himself so low until the smallest man of the city had to climb up in a tree to look down on Him. But that's what the world thought of Him. They gave Him the most crucial, hardest death that any man could die. He died as a malefactor. The most disgraceful that He could die. Stripped His clothes off of Him. Of course, you see the statue and so forth. They got a cloth about Him, but He despised the shame. They stripped His clothes completely from Him, nailed Him to a cross in shame. The lowest, hardest death that could be given, they give to Him, and that's what the world thought of Him. Now, don't forget, though, Christ allowed all these things to happen. Why? It was in His character. It was the humility of who He was. He was the Lord of heaven. And when the apostles didn't even understand it, and they saw some people coming to take their blessed Lord, Peter said, no, not today. Pulled out his sword and struck one of them over the ear. And what did Jesus say? Peter, they that live by the sword will die by the sword. Put it away. And He went over there and grabbed the man's ear and put it back on him. He said, don't you know that I could call legions of angels right now and just wipe out this whole place? Don't you know that I'm laying down my life? I know you don't understand it yet, Peter, but if I don't do this, you die.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Why? He was the most... He had to be that humble or He never would have went to the cross.
Right.
And that's where you find us Christians struggle too many times. Why we don't do the things of God is because we ain't humble enough. I want the glory. I want to see this. I'll serve God if I can preach. I'll serve God if I get recognition. If there's nobody knows it besides you and God, you better get ready for a reward, because that's the promise of the Bible. But if you're doing it because somebody's watching, if you're proud to be humble, listen, now you might not understand it, but you ever met those people who let you know, oh, I was the last one in line today. I paid for their meal the other week. And aren't I just so humble? No, you're not. That's the problem. I think Martin Luther, back when he was still Catholic, he said he went a whole day without sinning. And then he realized he was proud that he didn't sin. So you just ain't got a chance. You might as well just be humble in the sight of the Lord. Be humble on the side of your boss. Be humble on the side of your brothers. Be humble on the side of a sister. I know a lot of times it even gets in brothers. We don't think a lot of our sisters, but praise God. I don't know how many of us would be sitting here if it wasn't prayers of faithful mothers that got us here today.
Sure, amen.
I believe that with all my heart. My grandma was praying for me before I was even born. I believe that with everything in me. And I believe that's why God had grace on me and brought me at least part of it. We understand the predestination of God, but don't get so predestinated that we ain't got nothing to do with it no more. That's too humble. And that's what I want to talk on the other end for a while that I think is a big problem in the message. We get too humble in certain ways. Now, you might not know what I'm talking about, but let me show you this real quick. I'm just going to read this. I love these quotes. They just, I don't know. I mean, I don't like to surprise people, but I like to make sure that the foundation's right. And if there's something that's always been hit wrong, I love to expose that it was there the whole time and show that the message already told us what was the right way. There is a danger of getting too humble. And you might not understand that, but look, I'll show you here in a minute. Jesus, or 1959, what were you out to see? Brother Branham says this. Now, a lot of people has the wrong impression of Christ. People thinks that Christ was a sissy. Christ was the greatest of all men. He was the example man. Not only was he man, but he was God man. And he was God with us, Emmanuel. He was the humblest of men, but you can be too humble. You can get so humble until the devil will make a puppet out of you. He was humble to the washing the disciples' feet. He was forgiving enough to pray for those who drove spikes into his hands, but he was man enough to plait ropes and to run money changers out of the house. And look, don't tell me that one of these people is Jesus and the other one's not Jesus. They're both Jesus. Right. You can't have half of them. You can't have a third of them. That's why, praise God, we were given the statue of a perfect man. We've got to know who we are. We've got to have that character in us. But it doesn't make you a big pushover. And a lot of people think that the pastor ought to be that way. The deacon ought to be. If he's really humble, you can just bring in any old idea, any old thought. He just has to accept it. And if he says anything against it, well, he's just not being humble no more. If he don't agree with everything I say, he's just not being humble. He should learn how to be humble and get down to my level. Well, if you're wrong, you're wrong, brother, sister. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If Paul was wrong, he was wrong. The only record we have is his self-confession. Isn't that right? You can't find anybody else find something wrong with Paul, but he's the one that said, "What wretched man that I am." You know, right, when I want to do good, evil's present. Let me read you some quotes out of Brother Branham. Is it all right for every quotes this morning? Or afternoon here. I always forget that, but praise the Lord. It's still morning and the Son of God's rised again. So it's the morning time for as far as I'm concerned. Questions and answers. Now this is 1954. it's him establishing right at the beginning of the sermon. He says something like this. I skipped the paragraph. If you've got a difference, why? Either take it to the pastor, let him see what he thinks about it and so forth. Then let it be submitted. He was talking about giving questions and things. And don't take some theory now. It has to be brought out in the Word. Okay? Now, I want to make sure you understand that. We got too many theories in this message about what's right and wrong. If you can't go back in the Word and figure out where that came from, then there ain't no point in going around establishing doctrine and making judgments based off that. We've had that stuff even try to get in here where people got ideas about things, but it's just a theory. There's nothing behind it. And if there's no Word behind it, we ain't going to do that. Amen. And I pray you're on the same page because we've got ideas of what, you know, some people, you might not know this stuff, but some people in the message, you ain't allowed to wear red. You know that? Dad, you're out. I don't know why. Don't explain it to me. I do not know. Some of them, your sister's got to have sleeves all the way down to here. That's right. Now, I would much rather hug the mountain than what we got now. We ain't got no sleeves. That's just as wrong. Don't go off. Because that's the reason we need to have a revelation. The Word says dress in modest apparel, sisters. That's right. There's no middle ground for that. It's either modest, which means loose and flowing and not revealing, or it isn't. That's it. Don't get legalistic about it, but it's just the point. If we're gonna serve God, we better do it the way He said to, or we might as well quit. It will not be accepted. God don't deal in 99.9%. I'm glad I'm not 99.9% saved today, because that 0.1 is going to drag pretty hard when judgment day gets here. And you say, well, ain't 99.9% pretty good? Well, it would be until you get serious enough of a situation. Sure. Yeah, 99.9% of your hamburger compared to the next one probably ain't that big a deal. But let's say they only did 99.9% accuracy in handing new babies to parents. You think that would go okay? We only missed one out of, you know, we only missed five this year. That's not too bad. It don't work that way.
How much more the Word of God when somebody wants to take a little thing over and say, it ain't no big deal. Yes, it is. If it ain't the Word, it's the devil. That's right. There ain't no middle ground for this. Hallelujah.
So let me finish that now. That's a pretty big quote. Don't take some theory now. It has to be brought out in the Word. And I wish people would have done that in Brother Branham's day for these questions. How much better would our questions and answers tapes be if people actually try to bring questions out of the Word instead of, can I wear deodorant? Can women shave their legs? And all these little questions of just stuff. Should we have this? And I've seen it go, should we have an organ? I don't know. Go ahead. You know, they asked Brother Branham, can we have a trumpet or whatever? He said, sure, if you got one, let them play it. Yet now, I believe Branham Tabernacle, they just have piano and organ. They ain't going to have no more. Well, somebody probably got a little theory in there and it just stuck, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, they're allowed to do that, but my point is Brother Branham didn't make a doctrine out of it. Even when it came to women dyeing their hair. Listen now. Brother Branham didn't make a doctrine out of it. Now, he didn't go so far to say, go ahead and do whatever you want, but he said, as long as it makes it look natural and not worldly. So that's where I just don't understand it. Yeah, you could say, I only dye my hair to do this or that, but why are you trying to look like some supermodel? That's wrong right there in the get-go. Amen. All right. And a lot of times, now listen, you don't get that idea I'm saying this because I'm the pastor. I'm saying it because of the Word. Do you believe that today? Because I was just trying to look up humility and things, and I started running across this stuff. A lot of times, the pastor builds all those things up that when I come in, he's very humble, Brother Neville. You know he's good. He's just a little bit too humble. He don't speak when he ought to speak. And so that's right. And I pray, I think here not long ago, we had a little talk together. I said, what's the matter, Brother Neville? Is this, you're a loving sort of a brother, and you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You think I stand in the tabernacle? And Brother Neville, now he's saying, well, after all, it's Brother Bill's tabernacle. It's God's tabernacle. And he's the shepherd put there. In full charge. See, that's right. It's his place to do these things. Well, he said, he don't want to hurt one's feelings. Well, look, if you side in with somebody siding this way, another one siding this way, and you got to stand on mutual ground and draw together here and say, this is it, see? Just that's it, see? You must do that. See, that's what he's trying to get at. If you get too humble, where you say, well, brother, I understand you got this idea, and I'll just come over here and side with you, and then here's this other brother, I don't hurt his feelings either, so I'll come over here and side with him. And then what happens when they begin to talk to each other? That man's a hypocrite. He told me he believed this. Now he's telling you he believes that. He's just wishy-washy. Boom, there you go. The church divided, split, gone. Instead, if he would say, look, that's fine, but this is the Word. That's fine, but this is the Word. Then when they come together and say, yeah, he told me the same thing, coming from a different angle, but it's still back to the same conclusion, the Word. Then they can respect that man.
Right.
That's right. Hallelujah. And I don't even care if a man's wrong, he's wrong. And I don't. And at least if he can be sincere about it. You know, be honest. If he has it in the Word, praise God. If he doesn't have it, then at least be honest about it. It's just my feelings, brother.
Right.
That's just the way I think about it. That's fine, but don't make another man tote to your line. Make every man tote to this line.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't get too humble. He's just a little bit too humble. Let me get down here now. I read that already. And the people really, I found this around the world. If you'll be absolutely straight and sincere, the people appreciate you more. Uh-huh. Just lay it right down. Jesus, he loved the people. He gave his life for those Pharisees that were crucifying him. And he prayed for their forgiveness. But yet he said, you generations of vipers, snakes in the grass, and so forth like that. He wasn't exactly talking to the human being. It was a spirit. I look at Peter coming behind him, said, oh Lord, you can't do that. He turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art always an offense to me. He wasn't speaking to the apostle. He was the fountain of truth. And it was the Spirit that was on that apostle that was making him say that, you see.
Right.
See, he wasn't speaking to Peter. He loved him, see. He loved him and knew he was going to be the head of the church at Jerusalem. And he wasn't going to speak back to Peter. He was speaking to the Spirit that was causing Peter to hinder the works of God. You get it? See, that's where it's too far. And I know you think a lot of times that it's better to deal with people's feelings, but it really isn't. You try to use psychology and with the Word of God, it does not go together, and it will cause a huge mess. I
I'm just going to say it. That's what I believe happened with Brother Jeff's church. Or I say Brother Jeff, I can't, I'm not going to say that no more. But Jeff Jenkins down there and all that mess, trying to blend psychology with the Word and wonder why you got a bunch of mess and nobody knows what they believe or what we're standing for. One day the cloud's supernatural, the next day it's a rocket, then it's back to being supernatural again. And it's just wishy-washy nonsense. Why? Psychology. Ideas. Don't want to hurt that person's feelings who don't think a lot about the cloud, but I'll hurt this person's feeling who does, and I'll switch it back and forth so they both forget about it, and then they all just love me, and I get all the money, and it's great. No, give me a man that'll stand for his conviction on the Word of God and not move an inch. Right. That's right. If the man's wrong, you ought to be able to find it in the Word.
That's right. Amen.
That's what Paul was looking for in any of these churches. He says, you show me. Let him that thinks that I'm wrong, show me that where I've missed it. Show me that, or let any man that's spiritual will know that I'm writing the commandments of the Lord because it's coming right out of the Word.
Amen.
Right. Show me where I've missed it. Even when Peter here, look, this was, and I just love this. What if Peter wouldn't have had enough faith in Jesus to get his feelings hurt by him?
Sure.
You think Peter would ever went to Pentecost? What if he got offended like a lot of people do in the message when Jesus himself turned around and looked him in the face? Get thee behind me, Satan.
Uh-huh.
And Peter could have took offense to that and says, but I was just trying to do what's right. I was just, and he could have justified it like everybody does. I just had to be late because of this, and I had to do this. I had to let that in because I would have offended these people over here, and I had to go to the ball game because then, you know, I might have had to do this, and they were just drinking, so I just kind of got near them and things just to be, you know, what I need to do for that. Don't do that, brother, sister. That second you hear that voice that says, get thee behind me, Satan, out of your soul, you need to go ahead and say it and run the other way. That's right. I don't mind. Sometimes God don't want you to overcome directly. He wants you to be like Joseph. Throw the coat off and get out of this situation.
Amen.
That's right. Potiphar's wife was trying to let him. And he said, you just get it. I'm gone. Because I ain't handling this right now. That's all right. If you got a problem with drinking and there's some guy trying to get you to go to the bar, you just get away from him. That's right. You just run the other way. That's plenty fine. They'll say, oh, you just ain't can't overcome yet. No, that is overcoming. Get away while you got a chance.
Right,
hallelujah. Whoo, glory. Just preaching, having a good time, loving the Word of God. That's right. He was speaking to the spirit that was causing Peter to hinder the works of God. You get it? And that's the same thing here. It isn't to hurt your church, hurt your feelings. Where are you? Well, you're my beloved brothers and sisters. If there's a star in my crown, if I've won someone to Christ, it's you. Well, I ain't going to break my star, I'm sure. But if there's any something gets on my star that oughtn't to be there, I'm going to break that if I can. Do you understand what he's saying? Your converts, he said, you know, little stars in your crowns. And he's like, I'm not going to try to break my star. I want my convert. You know, I want him to be there. But if something gets on that star and dirties it all up, I'm going to sure do whatever I can to get that black off.
Right.
That's right. And it don't mean patting it on the back and saying it's okay to sin and to do these things that we know are wrong. It doesn't even mean to have sympathy about it. If it's wrong, if it ain't the Word. And I hope I'm not just being too general. I don't want to come down on the little specific things. But the point of it is, if you have that voice speak that tells you that this is wrong, you are not being humble by going ahead and saying, well, all right, you're too humble. And the devil will make a little puppet out of you. He'll do anything he can with you because you begin to base things on feelings, and the devil works great on feelings.
He does.
Hallelujah. All right, let me read you one more here. This is out of Church Order, Brother Branham, 1959, or 58, sorry. The pastor then must call this individual down and ask them to be reverent and keep their place. I think he's talking about somebody getting out of line. And he says this now, the pastor must be a man that has got a very humble way about him, but not too humble. But what he could be like the Lord Jesus Christ when he seen wrong going on in the church, he played the ropes and ran them out of the church. And now the Church of God is the house of judgment. And the pastor is the highest order in the church. The elder is the highest thing in the apostolic church outside of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings his message straight to the elder, and the elder gives it to the people. The saints and their gifts have their place. First, to worship and come together. Well, how in the world can you do that, child of God, if you ain't even here to do it? Come on now. We got to be, you do your place, I'd have to do what God has called me to do. And he say, well, that's the highest order. Brother Andrew, you just reading that so you can feel good. It's just the way God did it.
That's right. He gives a message to the elder, which is the pastor, to give to the people. It's not anything to boast about. It's just where we are. That's right. And if you think that God gave you the message instead of me, you're probably going to the wrong church. Let's just be straight up about it. If you can't have enough faith for that, what good does it do listening to a man? If you think it's just man's idea and it's not the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's really going to hinder your faith. And you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of service. Hallelujah. The saints have their gifts in their place. First to worship and come together, which brings, I've said before, the Spirit of the Lord in the building for the pastor. Now listen. And it makes it much easier for the Holy Spirit to work through him then when a good spiritual meeting has just preceded his teaching. So just when the time you think that what you do is not important, Brother Branham just said that if you can get a good group of spiritual people that are getting the heart of worship and use their gifts for the glory of God, it'll even help the message that the pastor's supposed to give today. And we think, well, I'm just here, I'm just clocking my time, it don't matter when I show up, don't matter if I pray, don't matter if I read, whatever. Brother Andrew, we'll have a good service, blah, blah. And we might, by the grace of God, but we could have more. You are only as blessed as much as you give into God. That's right. If you only give your strength like Samson, you only get benefits from your strength. If he had gave his heart, he would have won all of Israel.
Right.
That's right. There wouldn't have been a Philistine around, but he wouldn't give his heart to God, and that let the devil come in there and ruin his ministry.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Don't let the devil do it to you. If you're a child of God, get here faithful, pray up, get in the Spirit, create an atmosphere that the Word of God, not the pastor's message, but God's message might come fluently and just get to every soul it needs to. That way when a sinner comes into this place, they know God is with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Brother Branham says, I should have just kept reading. I'll do that now. And it makes it much easier for the Holy Spirit to work through him then when a good spiritual meeting has just preceded his teaching. And then the Holy Spirit gets into the Word and teaches the Word has just been manifested by the gifts. And then the altar call is being made then afterwards, and many then will see and know according to the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which the pastor places it on, that you are the church of the living God. As Paul said of old, he'll fall down and say, truly God is with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we want to be like Jesus. Can we say amen? And I understand Jesus was not a boastful man. The Bible said if when he preaching, you couldn't even hear him in the streets. That's right. You'd hear a flakes of wheat break before you hear his voice.
Right.
When he was got up there and he opened that scroll, he said, and he read, I think it was Isaiah 61, he said, this is the day of the Lord, and things like that. And he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled. And put it down. Nobody had a clue. Why? Because he wasn't doing it the way that they think God acted, which is a big stuffed shirt. He was being humble. But at the same time, he wasn't so humble. He said, well, this day the scripture could be fulfilled. Maybe, you know, if we have the right kind of a service. No, he's saying this is. This scripture I just read to you, it's fulfilled right here amongst us. Because the scripture has come to pass. This is the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
And the same thing happened with Brother Branham. He didn't whitewash it. He said that scripture, but it was fulfilled in our day. And that's why he went and preached the indictment and said they have crucified Christ a second time because they didn't crucify him physically. Now they've crucified him through the traditions of men.
Right.
That's absolutely right. So this revelation of the humility of God, it's where you can please God at. It's where God is glorified. If you go one way or the other, you're not glorifying God. You're not making God happy. You're missing the picture. We've talked about the stuffed shirt and all that, but I want to talk about over here for a minute. When you're so humble that, my goodness, you do anything wrong, you stop praying, you stop reading your Bible, you just ain't worthy, you don't come to church, you go grovel in a corner somewhere and say, but I just can't do nothing, I'm just worthless. God does not get glory out of that.
That's right.
God played a lot on Calvary for you not to be that way anymore. God suffered in Jesus Christ when he went there and he bled tears of blood. Come on now, sweats of blood hit the ground. He was in agony, so you didn't have to feel that way anymore.
Amen.
He felt the pain of loneliness, so you would never feel it.
Amen.
He felt the pain, the shame, as we talked about on the cross, completely naked, right in front of everyone, beat to snot, called a hypocrite, and he had nothing at that time to show that he was anything but.
Amen.
The government condemned him. Everyone condemned him. His disciples were nowhere to be found. He took all that shame upon himself. So you didn't have to feel it anymore.
Amen.
And for when we get too humble, to when we don't have any confidence in the grace of God no more, you are not pleasing God.
Why? Because anything that's not of faith is not of God.
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you how Peter applied this. If there was any man who had a right to go grovel in a corner and feel worthless, it was Peter. Not only did he get rebuked, as we just told the story there when Jesus in the garden said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," but shortly thereafter when he had run away, he was out there with the women and things, and somebody came up and asked, "Do you know that man?" He said, "I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about." Happened a second time. And the third time, the Bible says he cursed. And then right then is, how did Jesus know? Because he was Messiah. Jesus turned and looked right at him. And he went and wept bitterly in a corner. And at that time, he felt worthless. But God didn't leave him like that. God still gave him the keys to the kingdom. You might have been a sinner. Or you were a sinner, sorry. We're all sinners. You might have made some big mistakes, but you've come to the Word of God. You've come to the truth. God has brought you to this, not so you can stay that way, but He might change you.
Amen.
And He took that same man, brought him up to the day of Pentecost.
Yes, He did.
Made him the one that preached.
Amen.
To a congregation that didn't want to listen. That's right. And gave us the scripture that we rest our souls on. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you.
Amen.
What kind of glory would God have gotten had Peter never got out of that pit of despair? If he wouldn't have had any confidence in what Jesus said. Remember when the women came to Jesus' tomb? What did Jesus tell them? Go tell my disciples and Peter. And Violet, and Dan.
Amen.
Go tell them that I've risen again.
Yes! Woo! Amen.
And don't just do anything. Get out of that pit. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Because I'll bring the Holy Ghost on you.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
God fulfilled His Word, poured the Holy Ghost on him. Peter was given the keys. He went there and unlocked it to the Jews. When Philip called him down, he went down to Samaria. He unlocked that key to the Samaritans. After that, he had a vision of some Gentiles he didn't want to deal with.
Right.
And God had to do a vision on both ends to get him over there. But he did. And even then, he's like, I don't know if I want to fellowship with these guys. And he had another vision of a carpet coming down and food on there. Don't call common what I make clean.
Exactly.
And finally said, all right. And God gave him the faith. He opened that third key. And he unlocked the gospel to the Gentiles.
Right.
And then later on, I'm going to read you a story here in a minute, but can we open our Bibles? You got some time this morning? At least Brother Ronnie does. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark 5. Look at the power of this revelation of knowing what it means to be humble with God. Whew. Hallelujah. Mark 5. Mark 5:35. They had called for Jesus to come to, I believe it's Jairus' daughter. And I just want to pick up the story here. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Look at that big wave of unbelief. It'll come to you too. Why are you troubling God? You can't overcome this. It's already done. You've been divorced and married. It's over. You ain't got a chance. Devil will do that. Don't. That is his way of doing things, is to make you go too far the other way. If he can't push you, he pulls you. So this came, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, look, he wasn't too humble to get pushed around with this doctrine. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid. Only believe."
Amen.
And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Glory, come on now. Hindsight's 20/20, right? Oh yeah, that's totally acceptable because he raised from the dead. What about in your life?
Uh-huh.
Just go back this situation now. You have a daughter that's 12. You've been calling for this man to come. And he gets there, it's too late. And everybody's crying. And he comes in there. This humble servant of God comes in there and says, "What in the world are you crying for?" Doesn't seem too humble, does it? Doesn't seem too respectful, doesn't it? That's the difference. He had a revelation. What are you crying about? You asked me to come, and now you don't expect anything to happen? How many times have we done that with God? We asked Him to come and have miracles, but it shows we didn't have faith in the first place because we're still crying and whining about it. If you believe, it doesn't matter anymore. The Master's here. And now if you've got the Holy Ghost, you need to live in that. That's why it's better now than it was then. At that time, you had to go get Him. Now you have Him.
Amen.
So, God have mercy. Jesus said we'd raise the dead.
Amen.
Why are we afraid of death? Why are we afraid of things happen? Come on now. Why are we afraid of trials? Don't be afraid. The Master's there. Why are you making this ado? Why are you getting all worked up? And we'll think, well, why does a preacher get that way? Why is he? He's just a big stuffed shirt. They could have said that about Jesus. Who do you think He is? Come on, the priest came by and gave their condolences and gave an offering and things to help with this and that. And that's all great, but Jesus had something beyond a bunch of feelings. He had the Word for him. Hallelujah. Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Let me make sure you understand what that means. It does mean laughing in a sense, but it's more of like booing. It was just so ridiculous. They're like, dude, get out of here. You're stupid. You're inconsiderate. You're a jerk.
That's right.
Jesus wasn't too humble, though. He didn't say, fine, whatever. No. The man, not these people, but Jairus believed him.
Right.
And he said, I'll get through all this. I'll get to that daughter in there. And he says, get them all out of here. We'll read that right here in the next verse. They laughed in the scorn. But when he had put them all out, he wasn't showing off now. He wasn't proud. He could have just said, look, come here, raise up. What now, guys? Let's see, he put him out. Because he wasn't humble. He was humble on that end, but he wasn't too humble to let their unbelief push out a miracle.
Right.
Glory to God. They laughed in the scorn. When they had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was about the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. See how humble this man is? He just did a miracle. He raised a daughter right in the midst of a bunch of unbelievers. He kicked them all out and said, and then he told them, look, don't tell nobody about this. Just give God the glory. He did that to another man. Remember, he came and he tried to tell him, look, I healed you and everything. He said, but don't publish it. But the man went and he blazed it abroad everywhere. And you know what it says? Jesus couldn't go openly no more.
Right.
See how you can get zealous in the wrong way? That was that man getting too proud. That's what it was. He got too zealous. He got too ambitious about what Jesus had done. And instead of listening to the Word, he did what he thought was all right. Well, Jesus did this miracle. Don't he want it spread? He just told you not to do it.
Amen.
The Word is always right.
Amen.
It's always right. There was another time. I'm going to show you why I'm talking about this in a second. Let me just read this one. Luke 7:12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the briar, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he was delivered to his mother. Now turn with me to Acts 9. Hopefully I've got the right place here. 36. Now they were come to Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was still with them. But Peter put them all forth. Why is Peter doing this? Because Peter has a revelation of humility. He could have said, no, I ain't worthy. I ain't worthy. I deny the Lord. I did this and that. He's about to do the exact same thing he watched Jesus Christ do. And he's not basing it on his merits, or he would not be doing it right now. But he was not too humble. But he was right on the Word of God, just humble enough to say, all right, get everybody out of here. I'm not here to show off, but we're going to see a miracle this afternoon. Hallelujah. And Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. Did he even say in the name of Jesus Christ? I'm about to blow some doctrine underneath you real quick. You know why? It was the exact same person doing the exact same work again. Peter had got to the faith that he needed to where he could yield himself so much. Look, we say we come in the name of Jesus Christ, and there's a time to say the name, but that is a condition for the believer. You are in His name. You're not. You don't understand? Your name is Jesus Christ if you're part of the bride. You're in His name. So as you act, He was acting in the name of Jesus Christ. And all it did was the Word came. And Jesus, inside of Peter, said the same thing He said to a 12-year-old, a dead boy, now said again, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Are you getting a revelation today? This pleased God. This glorified God. Now, had Peter went boastful and said, bless God, you're going to see a miracle today. Bless God, I know she's dead, but we're going to raise her from the dead because God said we could. Nothing would have happened. But on the same token, had he just said, well, if it's the Lord's will, we'll go pray, see what happens. Maybe this day this scripture is fulfilled. I don't know. Maybe this is that Joel said. I mean, I don't want to be too presuming or too boastful. I want to stay humble. So maybe this is what Joel said, but maybe it's not. You know, that's okay if you've got a different doctrine. Maybe we can have a Bible study and hash this thing out. That's not what Peter said. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I've got the same revelation today that this is that we have here is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The word of the hour is the original God that was here before the foundation of the world. It's the original revelation that Paul had has been given back to us. There is no room for gray. We have been given black and a glorious light. And that same God can get into us to what we can do just like Peter did here. How many believes that? How many believes that you could raise the dead if this happened here? See, now look, you've got to believe that for God to be glorified. If you're too busy being so humble that you can't do nothing for God, you'll never be in this kind of a condition. And that had a real problem. And that's why I'm trying to bring it full circle. I might be going too long. Maybe we're running out of steam already. But I'm going to keep preaching anyways because I feel led to. I feel led to. That's usually a cop-out, but I know the Holy Spirit's here, so that's all right. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me. And I'm going to show you how Paul laid out what I'm telling you right here. Hindsight's 20/20, but I'm here to tell you that Paul had a revelation. That is why the grace of God was so heavy on him. That's why so many miracles were done by him. That's why this man could say, I am not behind any apostle, but you have seen the signs of an apostle more in my life than all of them. Why he had this revelation of what it meant to be truly humble in God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we would walk according to the flesh. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm not being bold against you because I think you're wrong. I'm being bold against those that think I'm measuring by the flesh. That I'm better than so-and-so and they're better than this. I'm bold against that because that's a doctrine of the devil. And I'm going to call it out right now. But he's saying to you, I'm not being that way. Because remember in 2 Corinthians, they had received his word. They had received 1 Corinthians and applied it. So he's saying, I'm only bold because, like what we talked about earlier about Paul being the apostle. I don't want to preach on that all again. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness of revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself also think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. What a revelation right there. God help us to do that. When we treat a brother or sister, come on now, when we treat them with this revelation of that scripture, if I'm of Christ, my brother's of Christ too. And if God would accept him, I ought to accept him. I've got my problems, they've got their problems, but praise God, I'm here to help, not hurt. Paul was trying to convince this, but many times, even the Galatians, they thought he was his enemy. They thought he was the enemy of the Galatians because he was telling them they were wrong, when really he was doing the only thing he could to help them, which was get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. And he wasn't too humble to say, no, it's okay. It's okay that somebody in the church is sleeping with their own, what was that, mother-in-law? No big deal. It's no big deal that, you know, you got a bunch of confusion going on and there's divisions among you. And a lot of people think, oh, there's just cliques in the church. Whatever. It's just the way it's going to be. That attitude has definitely crept into the message. There's a lot of people think, oh, I just hang out with them just because. No, you got a devil spirit on you. There ain't no such thing as cliques in the body of Christ. That would be a schism. That's right. What does the Bible say? The body has no schisms in it. That's right. It is perfectly one in Christ. Hallelujah. Now let me keep reading now. Verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification. Go listen to the authority of Paul. That's exactly what he's saying here. Edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves above our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. I hope that's not confusion. What Paul is saying is I'm exalting the office of the Gentiles because of me being the apostle of the Gentiles, because if I didn't exalt that, I never even would have got to Galatia. I would never even got to you all. But see, because you had faith that I was called to this, I was able to get to you. And though you might be resistant, or the Corinthians here, sorry, not the Galatians, the Corinthians. Though you might not understand why I'm boasting, I'm not boasting of things done by others. I'm boasting on what God has done through my ministry for you. For you. And he was saying, I believe the more you see your faith increase as you believe this word, the more will look right in your sight and you'll get the unbelief out. God help us to do that. If the word of God comes and it begins to keep increasing your faith, just believe it. Accept it. Say, God, thank you for it. Because anytime you begin to leave doubts in, all that will be dissolved away. It'll go away right there. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things that made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Now I'm just going to keep preaching. We're just going to finish this up. Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also. God is not glorified for you being so humble. He said, well, God would heal, but he'd use somebody else because I'm not worthy. He's not glorified in that. He said, you will do the works that I will do. And as we exalt that up, not just in word, but in deed, which means you do it. Almost everyone in the message say, yeah, I believe in miracles, but how come you can't do none of them? Amen. We still believe in speaking in tongues. Why didn't nobody do it? I still believe in prophecy. Well, then where is it? And then when it does happen, you got everything in the world to say against it.
Sure.
Come on now. I believe in discernment, but not yours, because bless God, I've got it figured out. Well, then get it going.
Uh-huh, amen.
Let's see God glorified in this instead of a bunch of division and hatred and back talking and a bunch of nonsense that shows that you're wrong from the foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus said this. He says, herein is my Father glorified. How is God glorified? That you bear much fruit.
Amen.
Not just enough to make it to church and barely scrape around and get by. He wants fruit. He wants to see the gospel preached with authority. Do you know that's how they distinguish Jesus from the rest of them? The scribes, they came in there and say, well, got a little lesson here for you today. If you don't like it, that's okay. We can talk afterwards. But here's a nice little lesson about Moses. And he crossed the Red Sea, but, you know, that could have been reeds or something, but bless God, it was great. No, Jesus said, they said of Jesus, this man's different. For he teaches one that has authority and not as the scribes. He came in and said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That's right. You bunch of renegades, you snakes in the grass. How long you pervert the right ways of the Lord? Come on now. And it moved through Jesus. The same thing went to Peter and to Paul and to every true servant of God. They have always done one consistent thing. Stayed with the Word. Beyond feelings, beyond emotions. And aren't you grateful today that Isaiah didn't cop out because he was being too humble? That Jeremiah didn't, that David didn't when everybody was against him? Oh yeah, we love David. If you just read about Goliath, how about you read the rest of the story, David? David had a lot of hard times, but he always stayed with the Word. What if David would have been too humble that day? Come on now. We're getting quiet fast. Man, I must have went way too long today. David, remember, what did his brother come up to you? He says, I know what you're doing. You're just naughty. You're just proud. You just stuck up. That's the only reason you came out here. And had he been too humble, he said, you're right. I think it was Eliab. You're right, brother. I'm just going to respect my elder brother. I'll just be right on my way. No. Something different started this time because he said, wait a minute. You know, that's all fine, but I got a revelation here. We're the children of Israel. We're the children of the promise. We've got this uncircumcised Philistine. We've got the promise of circumcision in our camp. They've got nothing.
Amen.
How tall is he? I don't care. Is there not a cause?
Come on.
People, you know, they get mad at me for saying this or that. But aren't you grateful for those that come to church when you're sick and you get healed when you get here?
Amen.
Isn't that, Sister Violet, that's right. Brother Austin just here Wednesday. Sister Suzanne actually told me she'd come in with, or she gave a testimony. That's right. Came in with a headache, got healed right here. And there's so much more glory than that than just saying, well, just going to have to not make it today. And I understand that sometimes things happen and we don't make it church. I'm not saying that nothing's ever justified. I'm just saying that we should have more faith in what we do.
Amen.
We should have more faith in what we do because God has so invested. How many infirmities did he say he heals?
All.
Jesus said all. So guess what, brother, sister? That includes yours. Unless you're outside of the word all, which I don't think any of us believe that. God did that for you.
Amen.
It's not the pastor getting boastful saying, you just don't understand. It's Jesus coming in there and says, what are you weeping about? We're going to see a resurrection here in a minute.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And not just bear enough fruit once a year and say, well, I had this miracle. Bear much fruit.
Amen.
That means get covered in the stuff. God don't want us to scrape and buy one apple a week. He wants a whole orchard out there. So that way, in case you get full, somebody else can still come by and get some.
Sure.
Amen. Hallelujah. If your back starts hurting stuff, go ahead and sit up, stand up, and praise the Lord. All right? Stretch out and things. It's all right. It's okay. We kind of got that doctrine in the message now. If we stand in praise, we're being Pentecostal. We're getting too rowdy. We're getting out of order. Get out of that, man. Well, come on. If it tastes good, give God the praise for it. Amen. Hallelujah. And some people, of course, think they're on the other side of being humble and think, bless God, I stood up today. I'm the only spiritual one here. Might have been your pastor a few times in the past. I'll say that. Because A lot of times you feel like David. Come on, now, you know, you look around and say, does anybody believe what he's saying out there? This is good stuff. And I'm not saying about me. I've just been sitting in church before. I'm like, bless God, man, this is great. And everybody's kind of staring at the clock, looking at each other. I'm getting revelation. That's why I like sitting in front. Because if I get it, I'll just praise the Lord and forget it. Because I felt good about that, so I'm going to tell God thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about the bride of Christ. Talk about the pastor being humble and Paul, but this goes to every single believer. We've got to be humble to know that it's only the grace of God we're saved in the first place, but God called us to be the bride.
Amen.
And you've got to know that you're the bride of Christ. The most glorious position any mortal could ever ask for.
Amen.
And God has given you that not to just lay down and get beat up by the devil because you're so humble, he just pushes you any old way he wants. You are a conqueror.
Amen.
And conquerors defeat things and trample. Actually, you're more than a conqueror. You know what you are? An overcomer.
Right.
Not only do you trample it over, but you're able to build it back up for God.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Now, I'm going to read this last quote, and I'll be done today. Exodus 7 Church Ages. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Satan knows assuredly that the original church at Pentecost, with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus claims as his own. All else is false. And as far as I'm concerned, that's an absolute. If there's any person, any group, anything that doesn't have Mark 16 in action in their lives, you're not part of the church that Jesus Christ claims as his own. It's either Pentecost or you don't have it. That's all there is to it. We can say, I believe the message, I believe brother is prophet, and I believe that if you are a part of the bride, you do believe those things. But at the same time, if the life of God isn't pulsating that word, you just got a dead form like a Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. You're just the same. God help us. All else is false. It has to be. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. I could preach a whole sermon just on those three words. Maybe we'll do that later on. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, which are the attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into a lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand that. He knows, and Satan seems to know a lot more than message people I've seen, but Satan knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that, in all capital letters now, she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. So you can't just skip over that. You've got to understand, look, I've been called to be part of the bride of Christ. According to the word of God, I can do the greater works. And we had a prophet come show us what those were. What were the works greater than what even Jesus did in his earthly ministry? Creative power. Literally create out of nothing. Brother Branham spoke squirrels into existence. That's right. But look how humble it was. Who saw it? But look how powerful it was. It happened. Even to where people knew, there's no way there's a squirrel there. There's no way there's this many. And remember, it happened 3, and I think in Indiana, and 4 in Kentucky were created. 7 for completion. The disciples were on a boat one time, and Jesus came walking on the water. Who saw that? Just disciples. Well, of course they saw it, right? They adhere to this thing. Of course, Brother Branham was the only one that was there. Yeah, we really believe that. And we believe if God does a miracle through us, it'll be published in the paper, and the mayor will come over and pat you on the back and say, my, you're a real Christian.
Uh-huh.
No, it'll be done in a corner, and it'll get blown out of proportion. It'll get misinterpreted, and when it's done, you're the devil. You're a Beelzebub. You walked on water because you used witchcraft. Hallelujah. But this bride will have not just a true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for. A lot of people have that. They know what the bride is. She's the Word. She's Christ. She's one with Him. She knows what she is. It's the true church. It's what God did at Pentecost. It's this Bible. It's the Word that's being brought to us. It's Malachi 4 fulfilled. It's Revelation 10:7, Luke 17:30. I know what she is. And they leave off a part. And then they wonder why they're not an invincible army anymore. And that you can do the greater works. You've got to believe that. That anything Jesus did, any single promise in the Bible has now been given to us freely. Not to just lay it down, but to use it for the glory of God. Don't get so humbled to where you're afraid to take God at His promise. You're a sissy. And that's not Christ. Christ is a man of war. The man of war is His name. That's right. I'll finish right here. I know you're getting tired. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood His every effort to gain power over Him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. I had this revelation, and He said, when I came to Jerusalem and they saw the works done, not the doctrine I brought, but the works and life done in me, then they glorified God in me. They bless God. We agree with this. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Just want to praise Him for a little while here today. God still moves, Dad. Give me a G. It's a pretty simple chorus here. God still moves. God still moves. In the hearts of His people. You don't know this. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all.
Let's sing with a heart full of faith now. Everything in you.
Trying to make you necessarily just leave the Word and say you don't believe it. He's just trying to make you cold, formal, powerless. As you look at your life, this is between you and Him now. How's your love towards the Master? Is it cold? Do you still have that fervent desire to serve God? Is this word still your delight? Is it the main thing you wake up? It's the book you want to read? Is prayer still an activity or is it a chore? Is it communion or is it just religion? You say, Father, I feel like my candle's got a little dim. If you ain't got it lit in the first place, ask God. Say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost today. Fill me with your presence. Give me that conversion I really need on the inside. If you've just gotten lax in your experience, God will hear your prayer today. You got to be sincere. You got to talk to Him about it. There's no man can help you, but the Son of Man's here to help you. Hallelujah. I don't believe the bride's going to squeak in. We're going to overcome. It's going to be a total blowout of the devil. I believe when we come to church, there should be one sickness get out the door but what is already delivered. I don't believe there's one soul that shouldn't be renewed in the Spirit of God every time we gather together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the church of the living God. If God's given you the Holy Ghost, every redemptive blessing is yours. Every power of God is in your hands. And when God begins to move on you and ask for things and well, I don't know if he really wants that. Was it in the Word? It is. If it's joy, it's in the Word. If it's peace, it's in the Word. If it's healing, it's in the Word. If it's salvation, it's in the Word and it's yours. Children, be bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just need a revival. With you, raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me today. I just need a fire again, Lord. I'm sorry for letting it burn down. That's the only reason it got down. It wasn't your fault, God. It was me. Started feeding on other things. Started giving my heart to other stuff. Lord, forgive me. Bring me back where I ought to be. Now you confess it. Be bold now. Don't be ashamed. There's hands all around this place. There ain't no room for shame in here. Let go of your shame. Accept the grace of God. Accept His grace. Hallelujah. Jesus. It's bold, it's weighty, but don't forget this is a God full of love. And He wants you to be right. That's why He tells you when you're wrong. That's why He brings you back when you get off the path. That's why He's so patient with you. Because He doesn't want you destroyed. He paid to bring you to Himself. Hallelujah. And put that stake down in your heart right now. And when you go home and the devil says, just get back on the internet, don't worry about your Bible, just let it collect dust. You get to say, no, staying this afternoon. I put the stake down. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go grab the Word of God and start reading it. Don't sin because you're too afraid to do a little bit. Serve God. If you only get a few words and your children disrupt you, just stay in the Word. It's better than feeding on something else. Just stay in that Word. Stay in an atmosphere of prayer. Say, well, I can pray a few minutes. Pray a few minutes. Just give your heart back to Him again, to where He is the love of your life. You feel that in the room. He's accepting you. That's what He wants. He wants a sincere heart. He wants somebody that's not going to play games with Him. That can say, you know what, Lord? I'm wrong. I done messed that up. You're right. You're right today, Lord. Maybe you've been too humble, too afraid to use the Word of God. God's not getting glory in your life. You can repent of that. God will bring you where you need to be. Hallelujah. He needs soldiers, church. God's Word will come to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't feel necessary to bring you forward. Just have that altar call right where you are in the solemnity of His presence. Ask for whatever you desire. I know it's of God. I feel His presence all around. He's not grieved today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the blood wash it away. Let Him come and give you that peace that you so desire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will ask this. If anybody that has a need or wants healing or you want prayer, you can come forward. That's fine. I'll be happy to pray with you. But believe it, church. Believe it. It's for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Feel free to worship and praise. Don't stay in the pit of despair. He's redeemed you. Give Him the worship like we said earlier. If this is it, this is the only chance you get to thank Him again. What would it? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus.
Your name down there, Sister Sherman's family. Show that you're God. They receive you, repent, come back to God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Worship Him now, give Him praise.
Thank you, Jesus.